guys, welcome back to another podcast. It feels weird to be back here, guys, but it's been like 2 or 3 years since I last posted a podcast, so I feel a little rusty at this, but I'm honestly really excited and really happy to be back. I was gone for so long because I was busy with life, and if I'm being completely transparent with you guys, I had been going through a tough time these past 2 years, which you guys will know about because I want to share everything that I lived through with you guys. But yeah, I experienced a lot of both positive and negative things. But right now, I'm finishing up my bachelor's. And when I first started this podcast, I was barely starting out in community college. So I was a little baby. And now I still feel like a baby, but now I'm 21. And I actually have like adult problems to deal with. So I'm going to have a lot of time in these upcoming weeks to just tell you guys everything that I've been through these past 2 years, and hopefully just put more effort into this podcast, because I've always been really passionate about this, and I know that a lot of people still, how do I explain it? I know my podcast resonates with some of you guys, and I know that a lot of people are experiencing similar things as me, and I think that showing the other end of like overcoming the situations that I've overcame is really important to shine light into that, because it shows to you guys as an audience that you can always get through it. So right now I'm just gonna get right into the podcast, because I don't want to bore you guys with a long introduction, even though I feel like I already have. So we're just gonna jump right in. Okay, thank you guys for listening, and yeah, we're gonna go ahead and hop right in. So to get started, I first moved to LA about 2 years ago, and I actually had a boyfriend when I first came to UCLA, which is the college I'm attending now, and I was completely engulfed in that relationship, and for a moment I thought that he was the one that I would probably spend the rest of my life with. The relationship was really comfortable, and it was a good relationship until it became long distance. My problem with this specific relationship was that I would be so competent on him and so needy of him to the point that I did not allow myself to make friends or a life outside of our relationship. The reason behind this was that we were long distance, and I did not want him to feel like I was moving forward in my life and leaving him behind. And that's where I genuinely feel like my relationship failed, because insecurities grew. And I mean this on both sides of the relationship, like on his and on my end. I think a lot of insecurities just grew. And I became really paranoid that, you know, he was going to cheat on me, and he became very paranoid that I was going to just dump him and move on, which is exactly what happened. But it was just really bad. It became really toxic towards the last 2 months of our relationship. And after we broke up, we sort of just talked about what we did wrong and where we went wrong. And he told me that he became jealous of the idea of me finding somebody better than him, and that led him to talk to other girls, which then led me to finding out that he had, you know, which then led to me finding that out, and then me becoming insecure about how I looked and how much I weighed and overall like who I was. And I became a very obsessive person with my appearance. But aside from those issues, I felt like I was giving up the college life and experiences for someone that had already lived through them. Because at the time, my boyfriend already had his bachelor's, he had a big boy job at a hospital, he had already partied his way through college, and he had made lifelong friends, and he already had made memories that you can only really make at college. I remember him sharing stories with me before I moved out to LA about pulling all-nighters with his friends and just like studying and like falling asleep at the library and, you know, going to these parties and meeting all these new people. And I remember thinking like, wow, that's so much fun. And then I came to college, and the first 2 months, I didn't find myself doing that. If anything, I was the opposite. You know, I would grab my dinner at the dining hall and like run back to my dorm so that I can FaceTime my boyfriend. And same thing with like classes, you know, people would be like, oh, let's go do this after class. And it'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, I already have plans. And my plans would be like, it was movie night with my boyfriend, and I would FaceTime him, or he was driving out here and we had already made plans for the weekend. So I felt like I was missing out on the college experience that he didn't miss out on because he didn't have a girlfriend, you know? And the thing is that when it comes to relationships or getting into a relationship, I'm such a lover girl, you guys, to the point that I respect their boundaries and I hold myself from doing things that I feel like the other person would find disrespectful. Like, if he told me, you know, I think having friends of the opposite gender is disrespectful, I wouldn't even question it. I would just do it. I just wouldn't have friends of the opposite gender. And I give zero space to be accused of cheating, and I do not put myself in situations where I would accidentally do something stupid. And a really good example of that was that I would hold myself back from partying or from making friends of the opposite gender because I personally find it disrespectful and unnecessary, especially because I was in a good relationship at the time that, you know, that it led me to feeling like I wasn't experiencing or enjoying the college experience that I had worked for and sacrificed myself for in community college. So I ended up breaking up with my boyfriend for that and all the other factors. And when I did, I realized I had little to no friends at college and I became really alone. I remember this one specific time I went to the dining halls and I saw like the biggest tables ever filled up with people and their friends laughing and giggling while I was eating alone with my headphones watching a movie or a show. I remember going to basketball games or football games with like one friend and like a bunch of people would just take a bunch of pictures with their friends and, you know, like everyone always had large groups of people to do things with, and I usually just always had either one friend or no friends, or I would just do things by myself. And I was afraid to be alone, and honestly I felt like a really big loser because here I was living in this big ass city and coming to this big ass school and still being alone, still not having friends. I thought to myself, how hard could it possibly be to make friends? And I thought to myself that I was just not putting enough effort. I wasn't putting myself out there enough. So I decided to join a club. And because UCLA is such a big school and everything here is extremely competitive, it became hard, you know? I tried to join the mock trial team because I had done it in high school and I really enjoyed it. But when I tried out for the team at UCLA, I did not make the cut and they ended up rejecting me. So it became really draining because all the friends I did have were in my hometown who I was not able to visit all the time or talk to all the time on a daily basis because they also had their own college lives to worry about. So it was just really, really draining for me. And it seemed like no matter how hard I tried to make friends or to meet new people, it just wasn't working out for me. And I remember not even wanting to go out of my dorm room because I did not have anyone to even be with. I became frustrated with the idea of being alone. And looking back in retrospect, I think I was sad with the reality that I was living in because I had dreamed of being at UCLA for so long. I dreamed living on my own and not having my parents looking over me every 3 seconds, that I felt like I was wasting away my most pivotal years. I believe we fear being alone because we're not satisfied with who we are as a person. I feared being alone because I did not feel like I liked who I was and I did not feel like I was a good person. And the reasons behind this was that I thought I selfishly broke up with my boyfriend and would create problems in our relationship so he could break up with me. And even now, I think it is selfish because had I just communicated my fears, I'm sure he would have understood where I came from and it wouldn't have led to us breaking up completely, you know? Secondly, I also felt like I had a lot of guilt because I felt like I did not deserve to be at such an amazing school and receive such an amazing education. I just didn't feel like I was deserving of that. And I felt so bad that I was able to experience what I was experiencing. And for example, somebody like my mother will never have that experience of living on her own and getting ready to go to class and meeting a friend for coffee. My mom is never going to experience that. My mom is a stay-at-home mom. She's always been a stay-at-home mom, and she's always just looked over her children. So when I would talk to her on the phone, my mom would live the same day every day. And here I was doing all these things and attending classes and meeting professors that write books. And I just didn't feel like I was deserving of the life, or maybe I just wasn't appreciating the life that I was living. And I remember this one specific time I was bawling my eyes out because I was walking back from class. I had stopped to enjoy the view. UCLA has some of the prettiest views ever. I mean, just anywhere you turn and you look, it doesn't look real, you know? It looks beautiful. And I remember just enjoying the view. I was up on the Jensen steps or some shit like that. I don't know what the fuck it's called. But I was up and I was standing there and I was enjoying the fucking view and the sun was hitting my face and the warmth made me really happy. And then I just broke into tears because I have goals and I have aspirations, but so did my mom in her life long ago. She was once young and full of dreams, and because she had to migrate to the immigrate to the US to live a better life, and you know, she wasn't able to fulfill those goals, because of that I'm able to live my life and be able to live out my goals that I want. And that just made me really sad, you know? So I started just crying because she could not. And I was able to. And it made me feel like I was not worth that sacrifice. I don't think I'll ever be worth that sacrifice of, you know, our parents immigrating their home countries and leaving their families, leaving their parents, their siblings, and just coming here and sacrificing everything just so that we, you know, as first generation, we're able to live out our goals and live out our dreams. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't seem like we appreciate it, but it was moments like that where I felt like, you know, am I really worth this sacrifice? I wish I could, you know, share my life with my mom for at least one day and her live my life for at least one day and enjoy it to the fullest. And lastly, I felt an imposter syndrome here at UCLA. I felt like I was not smart enough. I felt like the vocabulary my peers had were more advanced than mine, and therefore it led me to stop attending class and made me extremely shy. Before I came to UCLA, I thought I was the smartest little peanut in the world, you know? I thought, yeah, like, I belong here. I got accepted. I'm the coolest of the cool, biggest of the biggest, bravest of the brave. And then I got here and I realized that, like, the world does not revolve around me. When you come to such a big and competitive school as UCLA, you realize that everybody here is the best of where they came from. And it becomes really shocking because you realize that you're not number one. And you're probably not going to be number one. And there's probably somebody out there. No, it's not even probably. There is somebody out there who is smarter than you. There's somebody out there who's more athletic than you. And when you base everything on how smart you are, or when you base everything on a grade, or when you base everything on a piece of paper, it becomes really hard to love yourself and accept yourself for who you are, because that's all you have to love yourself from. That's all you have. So for me, it was really hard to just accept that, because all my life, all I had known was I needed to be good at school. And then I come here at UCLA and people are just way better at school than I am. And I'm struggling and I'm rereading the homework assignments and turning them in, and I'm still not getting the grade I want. And there are kids here, like my roommate last year, for example, that used to get high and pop Xannies and party and drink and sleep with guys, and she would I don't know how much she had to work for her grades, but I remember her grades were always good, and here I was not doing as much as she was socially, and I was doing really bad in school. So that made me feel really, really stupid, and I think that's where most of my problems my first year here at UCLA were, and that made me isolate myself. But in isolating myself, I hated it. I hated being alone. And because of those factors, I so desperately wanted someone to be with, so I downloaded Hinge. And for those that do not know what Hinge is, it is a dating app. And through this app, I met some of the coolest people ever. And by people, I mean men. I met many men, and they would take me on dates and spend time with me. And I felt really happy for a moment, because most of the guys were LA natives. They showed me some of the coolest spots in LA, and I got to enjoy a lot of amazing views and eat lots of good food. So those things were really fun, and I had a lot of great experiences, and I learned a lot from a lot of different people. But it was honestly just really temporary, because I did not want anything serious with any of them. So I would move on to the next guy and date them for a month or so, and then continue the cycle. And to give full disclosure, not that I care what people think about me or what assumptions you might make off of me dating guys and letting them take me on dates, I do want to say I didn't sleep with a single one. Did I make out with them? Yes. But I never, you know, slept with any of them. So yeah, I just want to make that clear out there in case anybody's like, slut, you know, and you know, I'm not, but in case you're like thinking that. And yeah, I ended up most of my first year at UCLA just dating around and meeting new people And I did get into some parties and I did drink a little bit and I did try finding myself. And then came acceptance, which is what is really important. You know, you have to accept who you are in order to, number one, change what you don't like about yourself. You have to accept that you don't like it. And in order to grow, there has to be some type of acceptance of what parts about yourself you like, what parts about yourself you don't like, and what you're willing to change and what effort you're willing to make into yourself and invest into yourself. So the summer after my first year at UCLA, I went back to the movie theater I used to work at in my hometown, and I moved back home for the summer and I made a lot of good friends and I reconnected with some older friends. And that summer was really fulfilling for me because I was able to find myself and find what I know I wanted to have at UCLA that I was lacking, which was actual, real, concrete friendships. I think that I didn't want, you know, I didn't want a friend that was just my friend because we lived in the same building together or because we were in the same class. And then after that semester ended, they didn't speak to me ever again. I didn't want friends of situations. I wanted an actual friendship, which is what I was really looking for. And it seems so hard to find that here in LA, even now. But now I'm more content with that, I'm more content with not having friends or, you know, not attempting to keep up with relationships that I know are no longer giving any type of satisfaction. But back in my first year at UCLA, like I was really looking for real, genuine friendships, and it was really hard to find that. And I think I really let that get to me, and I think I let that translate it. I translated that into there's a problem with me, instead of like, hey, maybe there's a problem with the society, with the way the environment is at UCLA, which is very competitive. So, fall quarter, I moved back to UCLA, and it was really good. And that first night back, I had reconnected with some friends from the year before, and they invited me to a party. And then the first month or so, I had friends and a new job, and I felt really connected with a lot of people here at UCLA. Classes were also really great, and I felt like I had started on the right track. That fall quarter, I also met this guy, okay? And this guy, we're gonna call him Ralph's, because that's where I worked at my first quarter of the second year at UCLA. And we're gonna call him Ralph's because that's where I met him. And I met him on my first day on the job, and I could tell he was really into me. And then weeks later, while I was clocking out of work, he was clocking in, and he asked me some questions about myself. And then we talked for a little bit. And about a week later, I bumped into him walking to the restroom, and he asked for my Instagram. Since that day, we texted every day, all day. And then about a week or so, he asked me to go on a date. And we did. We went on the date, and it was a really cute date, you guys. It was just like your average first date kind of thing. He had come picked me up from my dorm. He drove me around LA, showed me some really cool spots. And then he asked me, like, oh, what do you usually do? Like, around LA, and I'm a sucker for the beach, if I'm being completely honest, you guys. I love the beach. I love people watching. I love taking a book to the beach and just sitting there and enjoying it as I listen to the waves. And I love analyzing the people. I'm such a people watcher. I love it. I love all of it. So I told him, I was like, oh, I really just love the beach. And he was like, I actually know like a really good spot to just see like the line, like the horizon of the beach. And I was like, oh my goodness. So he took me, and it was such a beautiful view. We went right as it was hitting sun, like right as it was the sunset, as the sun was setting, and you could see Santa Monica from a distance, but you really got like the clearest view of the beach ever, and it was super beautiful. And there was a swing set, and there were kids running around, and it was just really pretty. And that was our first date. And then after we had watch the sunset, we went for dinner at this really pretty spot in Hollywood, and he paid for my dinner, and it was really good. It was Mexican food, but because he was Salvadorian, so like Mexican food to him was like intriguing, and to me it was just Mexican food. But he chose the food anyways. So yeah, so that was our first date. And then we got to know each other on that first date. Months down the line, after many dates and after hanging out with each other about every day since that first original date, this one time we were in his car, and he had left his car, but he left his phone in the car. So he leaves, and the phone stays there, right? His phone begins to blow up with messages, and well, you know, I'm nosy as fuck, so I'm gonna check who's blowing up my man's phone, right? So when I tell you, it was a girl that he and I both worked with, okay? So we were like, it was a girl that I had that was also working at Ralph's. And oh my God, I wanted the earth to swallow me whole, you guys. And we all know like that nasty gut feeling you get when you find out your man is doing shit that he's not supposed to be doing. But like I also couldn't get like too mad or too like possessive because he was my man, but he was not officially my man. I was just a little delusional about the situation. Long story short, we were in a situationship, and I was in a situationship not knowing like what a situationship actually was. I thought we were gonna eventually just date, you know? But I had never been in a situationship before. I had never known what that was like. So I thought it was like, oh yeah, like we're just dating. Like that's what I thought. Like, oh, he's gonna be my boyfriend like any day now. So I opened up the messages as if the name of the girl on his phone was not bad enough or painful enough. And Miss Girl over here is blowing up his shit because I guess he had not answered her all day because he had spent all day with me. I kid you not, that day we had spent all morning together, all lunch, all afternoon. And when I read his message, he was filling up his gas tank. So it was nighttime. Like he was ready to get to like drop me back off home. So she's blowing up his shit. He had not answered all day because he was with me all day. So she's telling him, wow, I cannot believe you. It's always like this with you. You're so on and off and blah, 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 right? So I take a pic of the messages because I'm like, duh, I need proof. And I keep looking through his stuff because, you know, I'm already here. Might as well, right? So my heart is racing and I'm digging through this fucking phone like a toddler digging up their nose for some boogers. I was deep in this bitch and I found. What I found was astonishing, you guys. I opened his Instagram and boom, he had bitches there. I opened his Twitter, boom, he's got bitches there. I opened up his iMessages and boom, he's got bitches there too. I swear, I found like a total of 5 to 6 girls on his phone and I'm fuming, right? Literally red as fuck and smoke coming out of my ears, okay? So this man comes back and I smack the shit out of him. I'm like, I cannot do this right now. And I show him everything. And then he tries to switch the topic to me, digging through his phone and blah, 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 this and blah, 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 that. And I'm like, no, bro, like you dead ass are texting other girls and swearing you want something serious with me. So, anyways, I storm off all mad. And then I go back in his car and he drops me off at my place. And, you know, I'm shattered because all these months that I thought we were going towards something were not real. Like, I questioned everything I had experienced with him. And for a few days, I was really mad. And then he reached out to me a few days later, asking to talk to me again, and he wanted to see me. And you know, you guys, you know how this works out. I agreed to see him because, not gonna lie, I missed him, and I was actually afraid of being alone again. Those days without him and without doing anything were so boring, and all I wanted to do was just to forgive him, no matter how stupid I would end up looking. So I did. I took him back, and boom. We were right back to how it was before, as if nothing had happened. Looking back at that situation, I'm honestly like really embarrassed for myself and really embarrassed for how down bad I was for him. Like, I dead ass took him back, and then I couldn't sleep because I knew he was texting other bitches, regardless of how good of a human being I was. It was completely embarrassing and like no type of self-respect for myself whatsoever. And I think that's where the problem comes. I think. Like the reason behind that is because I was just afraid of being alone. I was afraid of having to live my life alone. I was afraid of having to find, like, not even find new people, but I was just afraid of, like, myself. Like, how does that even make sense? It really doesn't, but, like, I don't know how to explain it. But it was embarrassing. And I think that's when I first realized that. I need to shut the fuck up and I need to learn how to love myself and I need to learn how to not depend so much on a man to bring me happiness. And not just like a man, but like friends even that weren't good for me. And I was still keeping them around because keeping them around meant I at least had somebody by my side. But not all friendship and not all the people that are by your side are good people. And it took me a while to realize that. And Now I'm at the point where like I see that, and I see that when somebody isn't good for me, I drop them immediately. But like that did take a few months to learn. And right now, even now, like I'm still learning how to do that, and I'm learning how to like leave people behind that aren't good people for me. But the example with the Ralph's guy has me really fucked up because I knew that he wasn't good for me, and I still went back. I knew he didn't respect me and my boundaries and what I was asking from him, and he wasn't doing any, like, he wasn't respecting anything of me, but I still was around, you know? I was still begging to have his attention. You know, I was still begging for him to text me back. I was begging for him to answer my phone calls. I was waiting around for a text back. I was waiting around for a phone call, when in reality, it was never gonna come. So yeah, so it became a big problem. Okay, so yeah, so I'm out here and I'm like, I take him back, okay? So I take him back and everything is back to normal, and you know, I'm very insecure. And every time I'm kicking it with this guy, I'm like, oh my goodness. Like he don't even fuck with me like this, you know? Because he's texting other bitches like every time his phone rang, every time his phone vibrated. I was just like, yep, that's his other bitch is texting him. And it's like, what can I say? Like, there's nothing I couldn't argue with this man about this because he wasn't my boyfriend. And like, we had never talked about exclusivity. And it was just me being super delusional, thinking he was my man, but he was not. So I'm out here and I'm spending this time with him. And then one day I just wake up and I'm like, I can't keep doing this. This isn't what I deserve. And what really did it for me was like, dude, let's say it does work out with him, okay? Let's be delusional for 3 minutes, okay? Let's say it works out with him. Let's say he one day makes me his girlfriend. He drops all the other girls. Let's say we date for a few years, okay? And let's say he asks me to marry him one day. Is this a person I want to meet at the end of the aisle? This person that has put me through hell and back, and like not even in a good way, because there's different types of like, oh yeah, we went through hell and back together, but y'all did that together. Like, this man was dragging me through the dirt. Is this the person I want to be with when I walk down the aisle? Like, is this who I want to walk the aisle to? No. And that's when I realized, like, he doesn't fuck with me like this. He doesn't care how stupid he makes me look. He doesn't care about my feelings. He doesn't care about me, like, at all. So I thought to myself, this needs to stop. Like, girl, you need to put yourself first for 3 seconds. You need to get up on your feet and stand up. Stand up, you know? So that's what I did, you know? I went back home for winter break, and during that winter break, I ended up like finding a new job. And then the minute I got the new job, I ghosted him. Okay. And I felt really proud of myself because of that. And he's been ghosted since January, guys. Oh, I'm so happy for myself. Since January, and we're now in May. So I feel really happy about that. And I was very much like in my healing era. I was very much like, I did want to hit him up. I did want to text him back. He did try reaching out a few times. And I did have to be the bigger person and ignore him and like, be like, you know, I need to put my foot down, and I need to know that I need to know, like, I know I'm worth more than the way he was treating me. And I needed to find myself in who I was alone. Okay? I needed to figure out that being alone isn't necessarily actually lonely. So what did I do for these past, like, I want like for the first 2 months without him? I dated myself. I was my own girlfriend, okay? And honestly, it was really nice. I went out to go watch movies by myself. I went out on coffee dates with myself. I took myself to the beach. I went on Google and I Googled like so many like LA spots, like super cute ones. I found really cute diners and I found really cute like brunch spots, and I did that. And then I was like, well, you know, like having a friend wouldn't be too bad. Sorry, I just burped. Because I'm drinking my Celsius, you guys. And like, that shit made me hella bubbly. Anyways, yeah, so I was like, you know, having a friend would be really nice. And at my job, it was filled with just college students. So I ended up just being like putting myself more out there at my job. And I became friends with like 80% of my coworkers. And not just friends like, oh yeah, like let's like we have a good time at work. No, like we actually are friends outside of work. I quit that job and I'm still friends with them. I still have dinner with them. I still keep up with them. We still talk every single day. We hang out at least once a week, you know? So it I put myself out there. I made these friends and I connected with these people and I ended up finding out that I had a lot of similarities with them. But you know, I never became to the point where I was like attached to them. I still have my life. I still go out and I do things alone. And if I'm being honest, I've tried growing on who I am as a person and how I see my values and what I look for in a man when it comes to romantic relationships, but also friendships, because I did have a really bad friend for most of my college experience. And the thing, and I think the reason why I let her be my friend was because I would rather have her be my bad friend, like a bad friend to me, than to me not have a friend at all. Because she would be the friend that like would be like, oh yeah, let's go to dinner, and we would grab dinner, and then she would like make me feel bad as of who I was, but I still kept her around because at least I wasn't grabbing dinner by myself. But now I would rather have dinner. Now I like having dinner by myself. Now I'll be like, oh my God, guys, let's grab dinner, and they'll be like, no, actually, I take that back. I kind of want to grab dinner by myself tonight. Like, I kind of just want to be by myself. And I'll journal and like I'll work on my podcast or I'll make a TikTok. I'll read a book. I'll crochet. Like I'll do something that's fulfilling to myself instead of spending this time with somebody that is just gonna make me feel shitty about myself by the end of the night. And that's how I felt about most of the relationships that I keep around me, both romantically and friendly. Friendship wise, I just want to be happy with who I am, and I want people to see me and like, I want people to see me and see how I see myself with so much love and care for myself. I want them to see me like that. And I know you can't force that upon other people, but I think loving yourself and accepting yourself and accepting being alone makes you not want to grab Not pick up on friendships or romantic relationships that you don't find valuable or that you don't find are giving any positive effect into your life. And I'm gonna give a really great example of this. I had already healed, right? I've come to terms with being alone. I've come to terms with just who I am. Obviously, I have a few friends. I hang out with them occasionally. I had done some friends and I had done like a little, I don't want to say like a double date because it wasn't like an intentional double date, but it ended up being like a double date kind of thing. And I had met a boy. And this boy, we're going to call him Pizza, okay? Because he worked at a pizza shop. So me and Pizza, we were stuck on this double date kind of thing and we went to go watch a movie and I thought, wow, like me and Pizza are gonna get along really well because he was really nice. He was really sweet. Like our vibes were just really, we were hitting it off, okay? And then, you know, me and Pizza add each other on Instagram and we start texting every day. And then we hang out, me and Pizza, just alone. And then Mr. Pizza decides to get really toxic on me, okay? And there's nothing wrong with toxicity, I think. It just depends to the extent that you put it in. Toxicity is cute until it isn't. It's really easy to jump that line of like, toxicity is cute because it makes you feel wanted, but too much toxicity is really bad because it makes you afraid. And I think he was crossing the line. Like it was making me scared. Okay? So him and I were really good. We hung out like a good amount of times alone. You know, with no one else, obviously just me and Pizza being together. But he would say things that would kind of, that I knew I didn't want. Like, I knew that sometimes his company was just like not it. And it would be the times where I would tell him, like, oh, I'm gonna grab dinner with these friends that I had before I was, you know, before I met him. And these things that were kind of like a routine for me, because I like to keep my life as a routine. If my life isn't a routine, then it's, I love being spontaneous, but at the same time, that's what spontaneous is. It's every once in a while. You're spontaneous in the moment, you know? I'll break my routine every now and then, but I like to have a routine to live by. So I had a routine of like meeting up with a friend for dinner, and especially because he had come back from traveling, he had come back from visiting his family back home. So, you know, he was like, "Oh, let's grab dinner, let's catch up on everything that we've been on." And I'm like, "Yes. Like, I need to talk to you about pizza, like, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's just been going so great." And I tell Pizza, Pizza tells me, "What are you doing tonight?" So I tell him, "Oh, I'm gonna meet up with said friend and we're gonna grab dinner at one of the dining halls and we're just gonna catch up because he just came back from traveling." And he was like, "Wow, I can't believe you're doing this stupid shit, like, blah, blah, blah." Super, to me, super toxic. Because I'm like, he's my friend. I've always been a big believer on like, if my significant other has a friend that's of the opposite gender, it doesn't make me, I don't want to say like, I don't want to say it makes me insecure because I don't think it does. I think for me, it's just like, if they wanted to be with that person, they would have put it that effort to be with that person and they wouldn't be putting the effort to be with me. And that's kind of what I tried to tell him. I was like, look, if I wanted to be with my friend from college, I would be with him and I would put my effort, all my effort into being with him. I wouldn't put this effort into wanting to work things out with you. And I've always been a firm believer with of that. And like, if you're a person that likes your best friend and then likes another person, you're weird. Just be with your best friend if you like your best friend. It's never that serious. It's never that deep. But that wasn't the case with me. I liked pizza. And, you know, me hanging out with other people and having a social life and having friends had nothing to do with me not liking pizza. I don't think, and I think pizza took that as like, oh, wow, I can't believe she has a life outside of me. And he kind of wanted my life to revolve around him. And I think he was doing that because he had his life revolving around me. And I don't think that's healthy. No. I don't think that's healthy. So then he got upset about that, and it was like a problem. And it would also be a problem if I would take too long to text back. I personally don't like to be on my phone that much. Unless you're really like, unless you're my mom or my brother or my dad or like a really good friend of mine, really good friend of mine, even then, I don't text back that often. If you really want to talk to me and have a conversation with me, you have to call me through the phone. You have to FaceTime me. You have to, there has to be more effort other than a text because a text back, I suck at texting. I hate texting. I feel like it's so time consuming. And once I'm on my phone, like the problem with me is once I'm on my phone, there's no getting me off. And if I have something important to do, or if I have a reading assignment, or I have an essay, or I have some research that I have to get done, I'm not even going to be looking at my phone. Or if I want to spend quality time with somebody, I'm not going to be looking at my phone. I'm going to be enjoying what I'm enjoying, or I'm going to be doing what needs to get done. And he had a really hard time understanding that. He thought that I was just ignoring him. He thought that I was just like ghosting him. He thought that I was just using that as an excuse to not text him back like frequently. When it's like, oh, I'm sorry, I have a life. Or I'm sorry, I don't want to get yelled at work for having my phone out. You know? So it's a lot of things like that. That made me like, oh, hold on, my mom wants to call me. Give me one second. Okay, I got back from the phone call with my mom. I call my mom pretty often throughout the day, just about anything. I update her. I can update my mom on anything. I feel like my mom is probably like the top person I talk to all the time. I love her so much. Same with my brother and my dad. I talk to my brother at least once a week, at least when his girlfriend is back home, at least once a week when his girlfriend's out of town, every day or as much as I want, you know. But when his girlfriend's back in town, then like, you know, I let them have their space and I let them have whatever time they want to have. And I love to third wheel. I'm a big third wheeler when it comes to my brother and his girlfriend because me and his girlfriend are the same age. So I'm a third wheeler for life when it comes to that relationship. Anyways, going back onto the topic, I feel like me and Pizza Boy, we got along really well. We had a lot of the same morals, But he was very, very obsessive with what I was doing and very possessive with what I did as well. If I couldn't go out, like, there was a time where I wanted to go out to a party. I had been invited to a party and I wanted to go out to said party. And I told him, and he was just really upset with me. He was like taking forever to text back. He was just like dry ass responses, just being super mad at me. And then the plans to go to the party ended up falling through. Like one of my friends couldn't go. And then after that, another friend made an excuse. And it was just like, then we're none of us are going kind of thing, you know? And I remember telling him that. And he was like, oh, I'm so glad you didn't go to that party. Because then you would have done something that you would have regretted. Like he thought I was gonna cheat on him. When we weren't even dating, when there wasn't any, we hadn't talked about exclusivity. It was just, everything was just very much like assumption of what he thought I was doing or what he thought I was going to do. And I don't know, it was very draining. Like, I didn't talk to him for too long. I think I talked to him for like a month or so. And we did hang out really often and all, but it was a very draining month that I was with him. And it came to a point where I was like, I don't need this. I really don't need this. I don't need this type of person in my life because I feel like he's just bringing me down. And it was also just like he was making accusations that weren't real. And when somebody makes accusations about you that aren't real, it kind of makes you feel like shitty. Like, wow, this person thinks this low of me. It's insane. Like every time I went out, like he thought I was like giving out my number or my Instagram, or even when I went to work, he thought like, oh yeah, you're just getting hit on. You're just flirting with like people. It was never like that, I'm such a loyal person, even in the talking stage, and that's something that I need to work on because not every talking stage is gonna work out, so you don't have to be loyal every talking stage, but that's a topic for another day. So I ended up telling him and being honest with him that I didn't want anything with him anymore. And my excuse was actually like a really stupid one. But I did want to let him off like super easy and not hurt his feelings and not tell him like you're just really possessive and crazy and like it kind of like scares me a little bit sometimes when you get mad. Because there was an instance where like he raised his voice at me and it was like, I'm not gonna lie, like a little scary. And I that's kind of when I knew I'm like, I don't need this in my life. I don't need like a little boy yelling at me because we were the same age. Like I don't need a little boy yelling at me. Like leave me alone. So I ended up telling him, I was like, hey, like, I don't want to do this anymore for this, this, and this reason. And he started rapping in the car. Like, he started rapping and he started, like, he was like, I did so much for you and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? I've only known you for a month. I think. Like, I don't think I knew him that long. So I ended up ghosting him. And then for my birthday, like, 2 3 days ago, he actually texted me and he was like, hey, how you been? And I didn't reply because I don't want to jump into that cycle. I already told you once I wanted nothing to do with you. Leave me alone, So then I did. I left him alone and he left me alone. It took him a while though, more than he did make a few attempts. And like before with the Ralph's guy, I had to put my foot down and I had to be the bigger person. And I had to know what my value was. Sorry, I burped again because of that stupid Celsius. I had to know how much I valued myself and how much I loved myself. And I knew that I would rather be alone and be my own friend and be my own girlfriend than to be with somebody that, number one, Ralph's guy didn't respect me enough. Number two, pizza guy that didn't value me or like didn't believe me and just didn't treat me nicely. He would always say mean things about me. And another thing was like he also would point the stuff out about my weight, and I'm like recovering from an eating disorder and I've been doing really well about it. But when I was with him for that 1 month, I would think about my weight a lot more than like the usual when I was recovering. So I was like, yeah, I can't do this. So then I moved on, and then like that same week, I met another guy, okay? And this guy I had actually already known from my job, and him, we're gonna call him Duncan because I met him at Duncan, my job, Dunkin' Donuts. So we're just gonna call him Duncan. And he was my coworker when I went to go work at like a different location this one random day. And I had met him, and I was like, oh my goodness, like this guy is so attractive. But I never thought like he wanted anything to do with me, and like he probably thought the same about me. But turns out he did want something to do with me. So then, like a week later, he told me that he was like interested in me and blah blah blah, and that he thought like I was really pretty, and like he just wanted to get to know me. So we started texting. It was a daily texting kind of thing, and I was like geeked out over him, like just from the minute, like from the first time I talked to him, even like working with him, I was super geeked out over him. I would always be excited when I would go work at his store because I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna see him. Like, I can't wait to talk to him. And then I would see him and then I would talk to him and I'd be like so geeked out over it. But it was always kind of just like a work crush kind of thing because like he was always super respectful and so was I. And we had never made like any moves at all. So for me, it was just like, it was just that. It was just like a tiny little like work crush. And then when the whole pizza guy thing happened, coincidentally, like that same week, he had hit me up and he was like, yeah, like I think you're pretty and like I can't stop thinking about you kind of thing. And like he was like, I was hoping you would come back to my store, but I ended up being promoted to manager position at my location, so I wasn't able to go to other stores as much. So I didn't, you know, I wouldn't go, I wasn't gonna go to his store for like a whole other, I don't know for how long. So he texts me and he like tells me, you know, like I've been waiting for you to come back to my store, you know, and we should hang out, we should get like food or something. And we started texting since then, okay? So me and Duncan are doing really good. Really good. And Duncan seems really good on his priorities. He seems very like sweet, very understanding. Duncan is like a good runner up, okay? Like we have Ralph's. Ralph's was my favorite. Then we have like Pizza Guy, right? Pizza Guy is the worst of the worst. And then I meet Duncan and I'm like, oh my goodness, like I think this actually might be the one for me. And you know, there's enough like love being shown towards me. It's not enough to be like love bombing, you know, but it's enough where I'm like, wow, this guy has my interest. Like, I don't want to meet anybody else. Like, I just want to give him like an actual good attempt and try. So I go and, you know, we go on a date, one of the best dates I've ever been on in my entire life. I'm not gonna lie to you. And I've been on many first dates. He definitely has like the best first date ever. The best that I've ever lived through. Obviously, I think I hope I get many more first dates that are better than his, but right now he's like winning at the top. Like best first date ever, okay? It was just so good. And I don't even want to tell you guys because I want to keep it to myself because that's how good it was, okay? It was the best first date ever, and we made like we kissed at the end of the date, and then I remember like being back in my place and like texting my best friend from back home and telling her like, oh my God, like I think I met the one, like I think he's the guy for me, like I just think he's like the best person ever, like I was just so head over heels for him. And then life kind of happened, and what I mean by that is that like his days off were the complete opposite from my days off. He had school the days that I was working, and then the days that I had school he would work. And then we would have opposite schedules. So, like, he would open and then I would close, or he would close and then those days I would open. It was really bad. It was actually like super embarrassing at how bad our schedules, like, life didn't want us to be with each other at all. And we didn't hang out much. Like, we talked for, I think, 2 months, and there wasn't much of anything. Like, it was the amazing first date. I saw him at work a few times. He came to see me at work a few times. We worked together. And that was it. And you know, I began to realize that like there wasn't any value being added to my life, if I'm being completely honest. Like he was such an incredible and nice guy, but I think that being alone might have just been better because it felt like I was alone anyways. But I was just being distracted by a guy, if that makes any sense. Like, I don't know if that makes any sense at all, but it makes sense to my head, okay? And it made sense as to why I made the executive decision to ghost him a little bit before my birthday. So I ended up ghosting him.
a week before my birthday, about 2 weeks ago, I ghosted him, and I'm still strong on ghosting him because there wasn't anything being added to my life. I feel like if he had put in more effort into hanging out with me, because I feel like I was putting in the effort to hang out with him, okay? There was a week that I sent him my work schedule, and I was like, oh my God, like I hope something works out between us. Like I hope you have like a little break and I have a little break, and I hope we can like see each other or whatever. And then like he never invited me to hang out. Like he never told me what days he had free, like nothing. And that's when I took it as a sign of like, yeah, he don't fuck with you at all. So that's when I was like, you know what? I'm gonna give him like another week to kick it with me. If he don't fuck with me, he don't fuck with me. If it's meant to be, it's gonna work out either way. Like no matter how much I try to push him away or I try to make it work, if it's gonna work out, it's gonna work out. And if it's not gonna work out, no matter how much I try to make it work, it's not gonna. So, you know, we a few more weeks went by and nothing really changed. We were really good at like texting each other and like talking on the phone and all of that. But for me, I love that personal like interaction, that personal connection, that just like bonding of like spending actual real life quality time with each other. And I feel like you get to know somebody better when you're having an in-person conversation with them, because there isn't that gap of time to think about a response to be like, yeah, I think she's gonna like if I say this. When you're in real life, you're more of a genuine person. Your responses are more genuine. They're not as thought out. So that's what I was lacking from him. You know, I knew him, but did I really know him? Probably not. So I made the executive decision to just ghost him. And these past 2 weeks, and I knew I wanted to ghost him before my birthday because I didn't want money to be involved. That's another thing. Like I didn't want him to get me a gift. I didn't want him, or I didn't want to have a memory of him like afterwards, you know, of like, yeah, he got me this for my birthday, or felt like I owed him something because he had bought me something type of thing. And like the first date was nice and he paid for everything on that first date. And I know he spent a good amount of money on that first date, which I'm really appreciative of. And you know, like if he ever in the future does want to give things a try again, and he feels like our schedules are a little more aligned and he feels like things aren't really in the way, I would 100% give him the time of day again. 100%, because you know, life didn't work out. He wasn't the problem as a human being, as a person. If anything, I think I was more toxic than he was. And I think that also made me realize that I wanted to ghost him because I need to work on myself a little bit more. I thought I was ready to be in a relationship, and I kind of realized from that talking stage that I'm not ready to be in a relationship, and he deserves somebody who is ready to be in a relationship. And number two, I deserve to be ready to be in a relationship. I need to work on myself, and I deserve to invest in myself and in this time, mostly because I'm an adult now. I'm 21. I want to find a boyfriend and potentially a husband. And if I notice these traits about me that I'm like, when I'm in a relationship, I don't like to have, then I need to take a step back. Maybe I thought I was ready to date, and maybe I thought I was ready to have a boyfriend, but it turns out I'm not. So I'm gonna take a step back and I'm gonna work on these things. And if in the future he ever wants to work something out with me again, where he wants to date and go and do stuff and like go on dates, not go and do stuff like sexual things, but like go on dates, he wants to like get to know me a little bit more in person, I would 100% agree because he is incredible. From what I've known of him, he's amazing. It was just that time in life wasn't working out for us. And I took it as a sign. And I also took the way I was behaving during this time as a sign of like, okay, I need to work on this. I need to work on that. I know that I'm being the toxic one now because he was such an incredible person. And I felt like there were some traits about me that might have caught on from Pizza Guy that like I evolved and then I like took it on him. So I need to, you know, take I realize I need to take a step back and I need to change this and I need to work on this. And that's what I'm doing now. So these past 2 weeks have been very much healing. They have also been just like now I've accepted being alone. Like, I'm okay with being alone. I don't care if I have nobody to hit up, nobody to text, nobody to talk to. Like, obviously, I do have a social life. I do have friends. I do have this, but I'm not dependent on them to the point where I'm like dying if I don't have anybody. I'll go grab dinner by myself. I'll go do whatever the fuck I want by myself. I'm thinking of going to watch a movie by myself. I'm thinking of doing so many things by myself. I want to go to the beach. I've never been on a city bus. I'm thinking of going on a city bus by myself here in LA before I move back because I don't have my car right now in LA for these next 2 weeks. I'm not going to have a car. So I'm thinking like I should do something like on my feet. Like I should, I don't know, maybe like rent out a bike or something. Like I don't know. Uber somewhere, like I don't know, just do things by myself and walk. Just because I've been having a car in LA these past 2 years that like I know LA, but I don't really, not on foot at least. So yeah, you guys, I know what I need to work on. I know who I want to be when I am in a relationship and how I want to be when I am in a relationship. And I'm working to be that person, a person that deserves that. And, you know, I don't think I'm an ugly person, if I'm being completely honest. I've become really happy with how I look and my appearance, both weight, face, hair, eyes. I have crooked teeth. I do not care. I love my teeth. I think everything about me makes me and makes me different. And I think I'm very much deserving of a healthy relationship and a healthy person and someone who's going to meet my standards and my requirements, because I know that I'm going to meet somebody else's standards and requirements. Because I'm not gonna, I hate when people are like, what do you bring to the table? I don't bring shit to the table. I shouldn't. But I know, like, I know who I am, like deep down. Like, I know my heart has great intentions. I know I'm an amazing person. I know I'm honest. I know I'm constantly working on myself and I'm constantly growing and just accepting life, that I know I want somebody better than the people that I've had, except for Duncan. Duncan is great. I love Duncan. Not like love Duncan, but like we love Duncan, you know? And he's a great person. And I hope maybe in the future, once I've healed a little bit more, like in a month down the line, that he'll want something to do with me. If not, it's okay. But I'm not going to reach out to him because I know right now I'm not ready, you know? And it's okay. It's okay. I'm not going to be sad about it. I actually haven't been sad about it. I actually haven't thought about him since I've ghosted him until right now that I've had to talk about him. But I'm not sad about the situation because I'm very hopeful that, like, he's gonna come back. And I don't know why, but I have this gut feeling that like him and I are gonna work out something. But yeah, you guys, that's kind of what's just been going on with my life in the sense of being alone and accepting to be alone. I like being alone. I like coming back to my dorm room and like finding it empty and then being like, oh my goodness, like yes. I like going to dinner alone and just like observing the other people. I do this thing where I grab ice cream from Cafe 1919 at UCLA. I grab gelato and I'll sit at like the terrace and I'll watch the people walking and I think it's so entertaining. It's almost like people watching at the beach but like on campus and they're all my age. It's so nice and so refreshing to just like look at people and like I like to give them scenarios and think like, oh, what must they be going through in their brains? I like to crochet. I'm really big on crocheting, you guys. I picked it up during COVID and it's been really, really good. I love it. I love it. Okay. I think finding a hobby, if you've been like, oh, I hate being alone, finding a hobby is great. Pick up a hobby. Pick up a hobby and stick to it. For me, it's been crocheting. It's also been reading books. I also love doing my own nails, like my own hand nails. That has been really great as well. But right now I don't have any of my nail equipment because I am in the process of moving out of my dorm. So I like a lot of my stuff I don't have with me right now, but I did decide to keep my crochet stuff. I did decide to keep my books. And one of my great friends from work, well, from outside of work even, he let me borrow one of his books. It's The Song of Achilles. And he was like, yeah, it's a really good book. So I have also been thinking of doing that, doing a little picnic up on the grass here at UCLA and like reading a book, reading the Song of Achilles, and like obviously not finishing the whole book in one day, but setting some time to myself and just giving myself time to think about something else other than superficial things. And I think social media also just really fucks up the aspect of being alone because social media is all about being so social that you get stuck on it. And then when you get off of it, you're like, wow, I really have no friends. Find friends in real life. Find friends that you can actually hang out with outside of social media. Social media is so social that you don't realize how lonely you are until you get off of it. And when you do get off of it, it kind of pushes you to grow as a human being and to also make friends. Just make friends in real life. You go to a coffee shop, and if you keep going continuously, that barista is gonna, or the person at the register is gonna eventually like know you, and they're gonna smile on their face. They're gonna have a smile when they see you, and they're gonna be like, oh my God, like you're back again. And it's such a good feeling when stuff like that happens. That's why I like to go alone to cafes as well, because people there are so interesting, and you never know who you're gonna meet, or you never know who you're gonna stumble by. And it could provide you with such an amazing opportunity, both either romantically, if you're such a like love slut like I am, or just like friendship wise or network wise. It's such a great way to network, I think, going to places alone, even going to like movies alone. Such a great way to network, okay? Anyways, guys, that's the end of this podcast. I really, really enjoyed being back. I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it and editing it and putting the time and effort into it. It's just another episode of being real with you guys, you know? I'm thinking of changing my podcast name, Let's Be Real, because like on TikTok, I keep seeing like be for real, be for real. Like, you know, and I feel like I say that all the time, that it's come to the point where it's like corny to me. But if you guys like the podcast name, then maybe I'll just leave it at this. But if if you guys have any suggestions, like I would love to know like what a new podcast name could be. But yeah, you guys, have a great day. Have a great week. I'll be back next week with a new podcast, and I hope you guys have an amazing week. Bye.